If you'll find your seats, they'll be right in front of you or behind you. It is good to see everyone. And since we made Holden stand up, where's Caleb? Oh, there he is. Caleb, you've returned. Well, maybe you'd like to stand up and say a few words to everybody. It's all you. We do that a lot here.
Yeah. I'm very happy to be back. Back in the church.
Yeah. Amen. Very good. I cannot believe it's been 5 months. Anybody believe that it's been 5 months? Are you sure? He's counting the days very carefully, yes. I'm sure he is. All right, beloved, I've got good news and bad news for you. And the bad news is that it's still raining outside. And it's not snow. The good news, however, is you don't have to shovel rain. So that's always a positive. For those of you that lived up in Yankee land, you know what that's all about. That's not very fun. All right, well, if you have your Bible, and I hope you do, turn to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read a few verses here. Luke chapter 2. Pick up in verse 17. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Now, we don't have a Christmas play to offer you. And if somebody would like to do that next year, you know, more than willing to see that. So what I wanted to do, since this is the last Lord's Day before Christmas, is I want to read you this story. I read it 2 years ago at the Christmas play. Oh, Christmas play. The Christmas dinner. Of course, the audio was terrible underneath that little tent, and it's kind of hard to hear, but it has just always fascinated me about these shepherds. You know, we don't hear too much about them, but I wonder, in my mind, what it was like, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50 years from this event, and how maybe they may have related this story to their family, friends, and such. So that's why I started to write this about 8 years ago. And it just kind of came out real easy. But I'm fascinated by it, and I hope that you can put on your holy imagination and see if you can see these things the way I see them. You can close your eyes if you want and imagine. That way I won't know you're asleep or you're really participating in this. But I would love to read you this story. The character in it is, I've named him Nadiv. It's fictitious. I don't know what any of the shepherds' names were. But his name is Nadiv and his daughter Rebecca. And he's telling the family the story of what happened. So he goes like this. As the axe head came crashing down to split one of the logs that had been gathered to feed the fire, it amazed Rebecca to see the strength that still existed in the body of her great-grandfather, Nadiv. Though Nadiv was 8, that should be enough for now, Nadiv said. Rebecca helped Father Nadiv gather the wood and brought it inside the modest hovel. As Rebecca expected, most all of the family, except for her brothers, who were busy watching over the sheep, had assembled to hear Nadav tell in his words the story of stories. Rebekah was now 10 years old and had heard the story many times, but there was something about when Nadav told it. He made her feel as if she were right there in the midst of it as it happened. The sun had now long settled below the horizon, and the comfort of the warm fire was appreciated by all. Everyone settled in their chosen places as Nadav began to speak. I will never forget that night. It was actually much like this night. Nadav gestured toward the heavens. The cold season of winter had passed, but the crispness of the cool night air could still be felt. It was a moonless night, and the sky was awash with the stars of heaven, which sparkled like diamonds. My brothers and I gathered brush to make a fold for the sheep. It was my turn at the entrance and be the door so that the sheep were kept in, and any predators fool enough to come against me and my shepherd's rod and staff were kept out. Everyone else had bedded down, exhausted from a long, hard day's work. Rebekah could hardly contain herself and shouted, "Tell us about the angels!" The rest of the family quickly hushed her. Nadav smiled lovingly as he continued, "I too was wearied to the bone, but I knew my responsibility. The sheep were now huddled together for warmth and silent. Suddenly, just when the night was at its quietest, there was a brilliant, pure light that appeared before me. Its brightness was above the shining of the sun. To say I was startled was an understatement. I cried out for fear. My brothers all sprang to their feet to defend me against whatever frightened me. But when they saw the light, they too cried out. We were terrified. As the glow of the light engulfed us all, a figure of what looked to be a man appeared in the midst of the light. The figure spoke, and the sound of his voice was so intense that the ground beneath us shook. 'Do not be afraid,' the figure said. But for me, I was completely past fear. I could hardly breathe. The figure continued to speak. 'For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.' I thought to myself, 'Good tidings of great joy? Whoever this person was, he obviously meant us no harm.' He continued to speak. 'For this is born to you, born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord.' It was evident that this was no ordinary man. As a matter of fact, he was not a man at all, but a messenger sent from God. Even though we were simple shepherds, our father schooled us in the ways of the Lord. We were faithful to the God of Israel and knew that Messiah was coming. But it never occurred to us that we would be the direct recipients of the message of his coming." The angel continued, "And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a feeding trough." Nadav stopped and gazed at his captive audience and said, "The information the angel gave us was like trying to take a sip of water from a waterfall. Questions rose in our minds, but before we could utter a word, we were suddenly surrounded by voices and faces. It was like all heaven opened up to us and said, and the sound was beyond anything we had ever heard. They were praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' In our minds, these same words were repeating themselves. The words traveled to our mouths, and we, in unison with the heavenly hosts, exclaimed, 'Glory to God in the highest.' Then as suddenly as the light appeared, it vanished. And there was nothing left but the twinkling of the stars and silence. All of us were standing there with our mouths gaped open, stunned. With one accord, we ran to each other, leaping and hugging one another, astonished looks on our faces. We questioned one another to make sure we all saw the same thing. We had one thing on our minds, and we said it together, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see that the Lord has brought to pass." There was only one problem. Someone had to stay with the sheep. And since none of us wanted to be the one left behind, my oldest brother, Joseph, God rest his soul, said, "Let's just take the sheep with us." So we did. Everyone was gathered in the room, let a good laugh out. Nadeve gestured for order and then continued, "I tell you, beloved, our feet barely touched the ground as we hurried the sheep along towards Bethlehem. Once we reached the small town, Joseph began to make inquiries. He was pointed to a small cave that was hewn out of a hillside by the keeper of the inn. The cave was meant for housing animals. When Joseph told us about the cave, I asked, 'The Messiah is being born in a cave? In a feeding trough?' No one else had the answer, but was as bewildered as I. As we moved closer to the mouth of the cave, a man confronted us, holding up his hands in a defensive posture as if to say, 'Don't come any closer.' He looked to be a gentleman, but was also someone who could handle himself. He said, 'What can I do for you?' Joseph spoke up and said, 'Sir, my name is Joseph, and these with me are my brothers. I know this is going to sound like we've been drinking too much wine, but my brothers and I were out in the field tonight tending to our sheep when we saw a vision of an angel who spoke to us and said that this very night the Messiah was going to be born somewhere here in Bethlehem.' As my brother spoke, the man's face relaxed and a satisfied smile began to form. The stranger said, 'My name is also Joseph, the son of Heli, and you have come to the right place.' Joseph began to tell us that he too saw a vision of an angel several months ago when he found out that his betrothed was pregnant and how he was about to divorce her for her infidelity. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him that the child that his future wife carried was in fact of the Holy Ghost and was the Savior, God with us. Joseph motioned with his hands and said, 'Wait here.' The man disappeared back into the shadows. Upon his return, he had a lamp in his hand and said, 'My wife is still in some pain, but she is resting quietly. You may come in and see the Savior. His name is Jesus.' We all quietly entered the cave as if we were entering the holiest of holies in the sacred temple. By the glow of the lamplight, we could see Joseph's wife, who he introduced to us as Mary. She smiled graciously toward us, even though we knew she was still in pain. Then Joseph moved the lamp toward the feeding trough, which was filled with fresh hay. And there, in the middle of the hay, we beheld with our own eyes a baby boy. Not just any boy. He was the very Son of God. Our knees lost all their power to stand, and we all simultaneously fell to the ground weeping with joy. It was a moment that I will never forget." Nadeve stopped as he was living the moment all over again. Tears began to form puddles in his eyes and then race down his face. Everyone in the room was struck with emotion. After a few silent moments, Rebecca took her grandfather's hand in hers and said, "Grandpapa?" Nadeve looked down at his great-granddaughter and smiled. He took her face in his mighty hands, bent down and softly kissed her on the forehead. Nadeev regained his composure and continued, "We were dumbstruck. Our human minds could not grasp the gravity of the situation or who it was we were beholding. The message from the heavenly host was still ringing in my ears, so I said in a hushed tone, 'Glory to God in the highest.'" All of us began to say it. Even Joseph and his beautiful wife, Mary, joined us in glorious praise. "The peace that filled my soul is something that I find difficult to describe to you. It finally became real to me that God was in complete control, not of just some things, but of all things. He has a plan, and it will not be altered by anyone, not even the Romans who now occupy our land. This child that we were beholding was, is, and will always be his master plan. By him, he will redeem mankind back to himself. I'm not sure if we stayed there 2 minutes or 2 hours. Time seemed to stand still. But once Mary let out a sound of discomfort, it snapped us back to the reality of a cold makeshift cave stable. My brother Joseph, who carries the bag, gave Joseph and Mary its full contents. 'I know it's not much,' Joseph said, 'but it's all we have. I pray that the God of our fathers will multiply it to you.' Joseph and Mary received the money with gratefulness. At that, we knelt down and prayed, thanking God for the miracle to which we had been he had made us a part. As we departed, I could not help but wonder what God had in store for this miraculous family and how exactly the child Jesus was going to save us. But one thing was for certain. Others needed to know what happened here tonight, and all of us felt that it was our duty and privilege to herald the story. As we headed back to our father's house, we knew that we would never be the same. Our job is shepherding sheep had now been expanded to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and letting everyone know that a Savior is born. A Savior is born." Nadeev looked down at his audience and smiled. All their faces were aglow, as was his. "I never tire of telling the story of stories," Nadeev said. Almost in unison, they all responded, "We never tire of hearing it." Rebecca held her arms out, expecting Nadeev to lift her up, which he did gladly. Telling the story always gave Nadeev renewed strength. Rebecca looked her grandfather in the eyes and said, "When do you think the Savior will return to us?" Nadeev thought for a moment and said, "I'm not sure, Rebecca. If there is one thing that I have learned, it is when God makes a promise, he will always keep it. Amen." I hope you enjoyed that, beloved. It is a truly beautiful story of how God was going to redeem us to himself. Let's pray. Father, truly we're so thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we contemplated today when we remembered our Savior, he humbled himself and took on himself our form, but without sin. Oh, Father, help us to exalt his name. Help us to live for him who lived for us and much more died for us and then rose again. Father, we will be eternally thankful for him. And we look forward to the day when we can see our Savior as he is, as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords, and as the one who died for us. Oh, Father, we give you such praise and glory in and through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.